The Fly will not be presented at this time in order to bring you the following special podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Okay, here we go. Now, people would be interested, Lisa, to know what is involved in preparing for this podcast. Because some people, by listening to it, would say, oh, they just turn the microphone on and off they go. They don't prepare anything. But right. No, there's a lot that goes on in the background preparatory to this fine production. So... I am in a different location than you. We're not in the same room together. So when I sign on to join you, it's sort of a Zoom meeting, I guess, for people who know how that works. So I can hear you before we actually talk to each other. I can hear what's going on in your home studio and what you're preparing to get ready to go and do this podcast.
Right.
And
let me stop you there, because sometimes I am here, headphones on, and then you sneak up on me, which is pretty funny because I don't always see when you've entered the Zoom room or the podcast room, but I'll hear, like, you'll make little noises, or you'll alarm me in some way. But that was not what happened today. I was not here. I didn't have my headphones on, and nothing was happening today for me on that.
Well, as you know, I never try to alarm you because I think that's
a crappy thing to do.
Oh, no.
But today,
it's back. Your toy is back.
Well, I keep it handy. But here's what I heard today. I was listening to you before we actually spoke, because you didn't have your headphones on, so you didn't know.
No.
I was listening in.
And the mics are live, and I always forget that. So I forget when you join. My mic's already open. It's running. Everything's running. But
So let me tell everybody what I heard. I'm going to try to recreate this now.
Okay.
And then you can explain what was going on after the fact. So here's what I heard, roughly. This is a recreation.
Okay.
God damn it. God, just my luck.
That's what you heard?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on, and then you can tell us what was happening. And
I'm all, you know me, I'm on time, I pride myself on sticking to a schedule. I don't like making people wait.
That's going to be your epitaph, by the way. Lisa Foster, she died on time.
Yes, that's really good. So I got in here a few minutes early into my studio and I was like, all right, I'll wait for Pat to log on. And while I'm waiting for him, I'm going to look up a couple things I want to talk to him about. And all right, I got my glasses. I got my phone. Perfect. I'm going to sit down here. And I got my cup of coffee. Let me just sip my cup of coffee. God damn it. And I set my coffee. Mother, you know what I was.
Yeah.
So I set it on the edge of something. I didn't have the lights on in here. And I set it on the edge of something behind my keyboard. And it effing tipped over the whole beautiful cup of coffee.
Oh boy.
Tipped all over my desk, my keyboard, my mouse, my pictures of my mom on my desk, everything.
Oh boy.
So I don't have towels in here. I normally don't need towels in my studio. There's very little moisture happening in my recording studio. So I don't have I don't have anything to suck this up. So I'm running around the house trying to grab towels and paper towels. And that's kind of what you're hearing, that you asked me if that was a sawing noise. Make that noise again.
Something like that.
That's me taking the towel and scrubbing the mat that's underneath, trying to get the moisture out of the mat underneath. And then I'm banging the keyboard, trying to get the upside down, trying to get the water. And I just was furious.
I blame Isaac Newton for his gosh damn gravity thing. That cup would not have tipped over if it hadn't been for that.
No. And then I feel like an idiot. Like, I'm a grown woman. I should not be tipping cups over at this age. That is just
something. Not at that age.
This is something you think you would have a good handle on at this age. But nope, I just tipped it all over and ruined everything. So
now here's the thing. Don't let that define the rest of your day.
Right? Oh, it will. Oh, it will.
So I hope this podcast will do that.
Yes, I hope so too. But thank you for your patience, because then I was late, and then you had to listen to all my, anyway. So thank you.
All right, let me run through our dearly departed here, as we have done. I'm having a crisis about this particular feature of our show. I've had some comments about it. I'll run through it one more time at least. Okay, so here we go. In no particular order, a guy named Eddie Palmieri passed away. I forget how old he was, but it was old. And he was the pioneer of Latin, jazz, and salsa.
Oh.
Now, when I say salsa, I don't mean the sauces, that are made of tomatoes and peppers and onions and cilantro and stuff like that. This is a musical style, and Eddie Palmieri was the pioneer of that.
Yeah, salsa dancing is very sexy and very hot and very, I took salsa dancing lessons. Yeah, it was fun. It's very fun. It's a very, it's a very, very sexy. Anyway.
Yeah. I took dance lessons too.
You did?
Ballet.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. You did now, did you, Pat? Yeah. You took ballet.
Yeah, I still have the costume. Also passing away, a guy named Tommy McLean.
Sweet dreams of you.
85. They called him. If Eddie Palmieri was the king or the pioneer of Latin jazz and salsa, Tommy McLean was the king of swamp rock, which is rock and rhythm and blues and Zydeco, which is...
I don't know what any of that is.
Well, Zydeco is the kind of music you'd hear down in Louisiana, down in New Orleans. And Tommy McLean had this hit of sorts. It's called Sweet Dreams, back in 1966.
Sweet dreams about you.
That's what they call swamp rock. Now let's move on to an actor, Terrence Stamp, 87. Do you remember him?
That name is familiar, but I don't know his work.
He was in lots of movies. You'd recognize him immediately. Movies like Billy Budd.
Do you know your age?
That is, sir. I'm not quite sure. I think 17, 19, or 18.
Far from the madding crowd. And he was in two Superman movies. That's probably where you would recognize him.
I like the globe that flashes red like our Krypton sun, but not this irritating noise. Make way.
No, because I don't watch Superman movies.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing. You know the guy can fly. Did you know that? He can fly.
Faster than his speeding bullet? Can he fly fast?
I don't know about that. Depends on the bullet, I guess. So that's Terrence Stamp. Then...
Jerry Mulligan came to see me, dropped his cap in the chowder pot.
A man named Joe Hickerson. This caught my eye because he passed away in Portland, Oregon, nearby where we're recording this. He was 89. Joe Hickerson was both an archivist of folk song music and around the world, for that matter, but he was a musician himself. Interesting career. He was the archivist at the Library of Congress, you know, kept track and archived all kinds of folk music from forever. But as a musician himself, he recorded in 1957 with a group he formed called the Folksmiths, the first known recording of this song, Kumbaya.
Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya.
Joe Hickerson. Ronnie Rondell, 88 years old, a very famous stuntman. I always kind of wanted to be a stuntman, except I didn't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
But other than that, Ronnie was in Twister, Matrix Reloaded. He even set himself on fire. If you've ever seen the cover of Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here album, that's Ronnie Rondell on fire. But what a stuntman. What a stuntman he was. Here, Lisa, is a brief collection of Rondell's most noteworthy work. Ronnie Rondell.
Wow.
A stuntman for the ages. He was 88. And finally, and you'll wonder why I'm including this, but I wanted to mention a NASCAR racing promoter called the P.T. Barnum of Motorsports, named Humpy Wheeler.
Few people understood the grand spectacle of NASCAR better than H.A. Humpy Wheeler. For 33 years, he was racing's foremost track promoter, bringing a sense of scale, wonder, and imagination to events at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He dabbled in driving, but Wheeler found his calling as a promoter, building races in the Charlotte, North Carolina region into can't-miss events. Part ringmaster, part businessman, he was always looking for the next big thing to drive sold-out crowds and provide a memorable experience for the fans.
Humpy Wheeler, 86. And the only reason I really mention him is because I wanted to say, Humpy Wheeler.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, 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 my lovely little lumps.
Okay, great.
On me. Relevant to nothing, I wanted to share something with you. It's pretty cool. Now, my friend, if people who are just joining us, you and I both did a radio shows on various Seattle radio stations for several years. All of those radio shows tanked for various reasons.
Not only did the radio shows tank, but I think we tanked the station as a whole, too.
Yeah.
I think,
well, you have to admit, though, we and this sounds like lame excuse making, but I am right about this. We went and worked at radio stations that were already floundering. They were underwater. They were desperate.
Yeah, what the hell were we thinking? Why did we even take those offers?
Well, they were looking for a resurrection of sorts, and they thought, who can we put on the air that will be so dazzling that people will change their listening habits and will switch to our station, driving us to successes that we've never known before? And they identified us as those people, as their salvation.
Yeah.
It never worked out. Not all of it our fault. Not all of it not our fault. So anyway, I mention all of that because part of my career beyond radio was that I got a chance to do some television work along the way, commercials and different TV shows and public service announcements, and really found my footing unexpectedly in something I never saw coming, a TV show called Almost Live, which was on in Seattle. For years.
Yeah. Do you still have the podcast going? Almost Live still alive?
Yes, almostlivestillalive.com.
Good.
You can find
it. Cool.
Yeah, so I interview each individual cast member, producer, and so on from the show. And one of those, of course, was, and a lot of people wouldn't remember this, in the early days of Almost Live, Bill Nye, the science guy, before he was the science guy, was a part of the show, the Almost Live show. That's how he got his start.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna kind of spoil what you're about to hear here, but he was discovered by somebody after winning a Steve Martin look-alike contest. I don't know all the details of it, but Bill was trying to be a stand-up comedian in Seattle. His full-time job was working as an engineer. He was a Boeing engineer, I guess. But he was also funny, and so he was in these two worlds between being a scientist and being a comedian. And so he would go and perform at clubs, and one of his shticks was getting himself involved in a Steve Martin lookalike contest. And Bill won it. I don't think he looks anything like Steve Martin.
I don't get that. Yeah, I don't get that. I'd love to see the photo. Do you know what year that was?
Oh my gosh, it must have been in the early 80s, very early 80s, maybe 83, 84, something like that.
Okay, let me see.
So he does that, and then becomes... becomes very successful later as Bill Nye the Science Guy. He's a big deal now. I was asked to be the announcer on the Bill Nye the Science Guy show. So anyway, Jimmy Kimmel is now hosting a version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the game show. Mm-hmm. And the contestants on the show, they team people up. And at the end of the, as they're heading towards the $1 million mark, we're now at $500,000, $500,000. If Ken Jennings, one of the contestants, Ken Jennings, very familiar to people who watch Jeopardy, he's now the host, and the actor Matt Damon, they are teamed up on this show to try and get the answer to this question, which would earn them $500,000. Jimmy Kimmel is the host. As a background, Jimmy Kimmel and Matt Damon, the actor, have had this fake dispute, this fake rivalry, they dislike each other for years and years. So that will inform you about some of the dialogue you're about to hear. So these guys are trying to figure out the answer to the question that I've already given you the answer to, is Bill Nye. But mm-hmm. Here we go. I just love this clip. It's from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Check it out.
You've got $250,000 for water.org.
Yes.
And your next question is for $500,000. Matt, that's $500,000. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
Okay. $500,000 question. With another career path already established, who got his first taste of the entertainment world when he entered a Steve Martin look-alike contest? Dr. Oz, Jerry Springer, Bill Nye, Anthony Bourdain.
Another career path already established.
I have straight up never heard this.
No, me neither.
This is not looking familiar at all. And they're all at least possible.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like there's really no way to rule out anybody here. I mean, Jerry Springer was a politician before he was in show
business. Yeah, he had a
business.
Career beforehand.
He was, the mayor of somewhere
Cincinnati,
in Ohio?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
So that seems like maybe a little unlikely, but...
I don't know why Anthony Bourdain would enter a Steve Martin look-alike contest.
None of them look a ton like Steve Martin, right?
Well, we're definitely going lifelines. The question is which ones.
I mean, it's a showbiz bio story. It's
right.
Not like it's, no offense, Jimmy, quantum physics or something. Like,
right.
maybe this is a time to ask the host. You know who introduces a lot of celebs and asks them about kind of entertaining stories from their past?
I don't want to ask him. Should we 50-50 it and then ask Jimmy?
Like, if Jimmy actually knows this cold, like if Jimmy's just going on vibes, like, yeah, Dr. Oz looks a little like Steve Martin, I think he would tell us that because he believes in fair play. even if he's not the world's biggest Matt Damon fan.
Right.
I kind of believe in going Jimmy first. And then if he's like, but I'm just guessing, then we know we're going to have to burn another
don't
lifeline.
Don't sneer when he says you should go to me first. That's rude.
Like, this is something Jimmy might know outright and be able to save us from using two really good lifelines. And if he doesn't, he'll tell us, and then we got to burn another lifeline on this question.
Okay, I understand.
You know what I mean?
I understand your logic.
Like, we're going to use Jimmy once if we need him, if we need all our lifelines. And
he's
like,
just he's useless.
I understand.
But okay.
I think should do it. We're gonna ask the host, Jimmy. We want to ask you.
You sure you want to ask the host?
Yeah, and this is coming from me.
Okay.
Ken, who, to my knowledge, has never pissed you off in any way.
Until tonight, yeah. Now, just to be clear, as you know, I don't have the answers to the questions, but here's what I think. I know the answer to this one.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, that's what you want to hear.
It's one of these things where I just read a big story about this guy. I was on the radio in Seattle when this guy started out. He was on local television, and the answer, my final answer, is Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh.
Entered a Steve Martin lookalike contest.
Well, I mean, he said it with authority. If he gets this wrong.
What if he really wants to screw with you? Jimmy invents this crazy story about Seattle.
That is how I would do it. Yeah.
Take that.
I've never even been to Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. No, he wouldn't do that. I like it. Let's do it.
I feel bad because, like, I'm from Seattle, and I used to watch Bill Nye on the local sketch comedy show. Almost Live. I did not know.
Oh, Bill Nye did sketch comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, that bolsters his answer even.
He told you he knew it, and Matt's still like, I don't know.
That's why I don't like him.
That was about the best we could have hoped for.
This is great. This is great for water.org. We should just go with Bill Nye.
I like it. Yeah.
Thank you, Jimmy. Final answer,
Jimmy.
C, Bill Nye.
I'm not saying thank you. Well, I have to say thank you if it's right.
Now, you've got $250,000. If we got this right, and when I say we, I mean I. That will mean you have $500,000. Computer, please reveal the correct answer.
Yes!
Oh, man. That was awesome.
Okay, so, oh, by the way, Bill Nye is going to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, really?
In September, late September. Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, I've been invited to come down for that. I don't know if I'm going to.
What do you mean you've been invited to come down for it? Would you just stand there and watch him stick it in the ground and then clap?
Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah. I might send a surrogate down.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
A lookalike. We should have a Pat Cashman lookalike contest and then send person.
You're going to have to find some pretty ugly people to do that. I'll tell you that. Yeah, I got a question for you, Lisa Foster, if that is your name.
Yes.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was looking for a birthday card for somebody, and I'm going through, and there's sympathy cards. There's, you know, happy birthday grandson cards, happy birthday grandma. They get specific. Hey, happy 40th birthday. But I was wondering, in all of the cards that Hallmark and others make, why has nobody ever made a funny sympathy card? You know, some more of a lighthearted sympathy card.
Do you have thoughts around what that would say?
Well, I've always maintained, because I did a lot of advertising work in my day, that there should be, somebody should create funny funeral home commercials. I think they would stand out. People go, "Ooh, look at that! I never thought of it that way." So here's some ideas I had, and these are pretty lame, but I'm just trying to get the ball rolling here. Funny, all right, or at least lighthearted sympathy cards. Your grandpa was a talented cook who could always create a wonderful barbecue. As an outdoor chef, you could not overrate him. Remember that tomorrow when you cremate him. Okay, how about this one? Your brother was nice, but not very attractive, and now that he's died, no longer very active. Let's have a funeral, but please, no ands, ifs, or buts. Nobody wants to see that face again. Keep the casket shut.
No, I think the very first part is just leave it that. Do that first part again.
Okay. Your brother was nice, but not very attractive.
The outside of the card.
Yeah, your brother was nice, but not very attractive. And now that he's died,
open the card.
He's no longer very active.
So like that's the outside of the card, and then the inside is, and now that he's dead, he's no longer very
Okay, let me make that change. Oh, I had one other possibility. Your aunt has passed on at 111. What awaits her now is the glory of heaven. Unless the whole heaven thing is just a myth, in which case your aunt is going to be pretty pissed.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Like I said, it's just an idea. It's in its early phase. It's it's embryonic.
You let me know how many of those cards you sell.
And you get half.
Yeah. Okay.
So good. What have you been up to all week?
Now, I got to tell you, I went to Sacramento, California. Calm down. I hung out there for four days with my friend. Are you okay? What happened? Charlie Horse?
Oh, yeah. Got a cramp.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
I got a Sacramento cramp.
So we are in the, I don't know why I do this.
Hang on a second. August. I'm going to work on my cramp for a second. Hang on. Okay, I think that got it.
That makes me laugh.
Okay.
I'm sorry you had to go through
that. So you're in Sacramento and you're visiting.
And I don't know why I choose to go see
Gavin
my friend.
Gavin Newsom, yeah.
Good old Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, I just am
He's kicking
enormously
it.
Amused yeah. by his yeah. hilarious mocking of the current administration. Yeah. Of current president. Anyway, but yeah, so I don't know why I make the decision to go. I did this last year. I went to Sacramento in August and it is just unbearably hot. I didn't even take a daily walk. It was uncomfortable and I hated it. And I know there's people that really like heat. They love it when it's over 100 degrees. Anything above 90, I'm out. I am out. I'm just out. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to try to think. I'm not going to be, I didn't want to get in an air conditioned car. The walk from the house to the car every day when we'd go out to dinner.
Yeah.
It was brutal and it was all of 10 seconds and I thought I was going to die in that 10 seconds.
So what's your perfect temperature?
Oh, I'm thinking 75, 6, 7, 8,
okay.
80, right. 80's fine. But when we start hitting, like, we're in a little heat wave here in Seattle right now.
Yeah,
so
I get home.
We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can.
I flew home Sunday night from 103, and I get here and it's 93, and I'm like, that's not a big difference. oh my gosh. And you know, they don't set their AC really low because you've got it. So their AC is set at 78, which I suppose is a big difference when you're out in 103 degree heat and you walk in the house and it's 78, but man, it was tough. So that's what I did.
Back when I was a regular jogger, the hotter it was, the better I liked it.
I don't understand you. Why?
I don't know. I just thought it was a better workout. I would sweat more. Yeah, I felt like I achieved more, but I'm not a big fan of it now. No way.
No, I'm not.
My brother lives in Arizona now, and he's sending me these things of pictures every day of the, you know, his car thermometer.
Oh,
112 degrees today. Like, man, are you in mind? That's not funny. It's insane.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but tonight it'll get down to a low of 97, so it'll be kind of cool. We can keep the windows open.
It'll cool off. No, thank you. I'm happy here in the Pacific Northwest. That's the reason I lived in Sacramento, and that's the reason I left. I'm like, I am out of here. I was cranky from May till October every year because it never got below 90. So, screw that. But I have to tell you.
Yes.
I binged watched a really good series that I want to recommend to you. On the plane, I downloaded this. If you have not watched this show,
is it? Let me guess. Is this the Three Stooges story?
Wait, there's a documentary about the Three Stooges?
Well, there should be.
There should be. There's not much to.
Did I ever tell you about the time my wife and I were watching? We watched Jeopardy a lot in the days. Now I watch it because I want to make sure I can still remember things. But we used to watch Jeopardy, and whenever we'd come up with a tough question we didn't know, my wife had always blurred out, "Who is Shemp?" "Who is Shemp?" Could be, he was, he discovered an isotope that has saved millions. "Who is Shemp?" And of course it was never Shemp. So one time, and I swear to God, Lisa, we're watching Jeopardy, and the question comes up, he was regarded as the fourth stooge. There was Moe, Curly, Larry, and then, who is Shemp? Correct! We couldn't believe it.
So no, that is not the show I'm recommending. The history of the Three Stooges is not what I'm recommending. I would highly recommend you watch, and I believe this is on Paramount Plus. It's a show called The Offer, and it's a biographically based miniseries. So I think there's like 10 episodes, which it talks about The Godfather, how The Godfather got made. And how the producers... Oh, it is... It doesn't sound on its surface like it would be, maybe I'll watch if I got nothing else to watch. It is quite absorbing. The acting is fantastic. And I would highly recommend that you watch it. Even if you don't like The Godfather, but it's the whole history of... Mario Puzo. Am I saying his name right? The author.
He was the author of the book, yeah.
Right. So he beginning with that whole story of him writing it, and then the producers greenlighting it, and all the problems that they had going into the production of it. It's very well done. And it's very cool because they have, all these great old cars and period pieces back then. It's visually really delightful, and the story is very absorbing. So if you get a chance and you want something good to just sink your teeth into, check out either the history of the Three Stooges or I would offer up to you The Offer.
Listen here, Bob. Paramount is going to come crashing down. We need hits.
You've read The Godfather, right?
Godfather.
Sure, who hasn't?
We've been all over town. No one wants to make this movie, so I need you to produce it. Get going, baby.
And why don't they make a sequel that incorporates both of those things?
Hi, I want to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, when I was a kid, I was watching this old movie the other night, because I like to watch old movies. Because I'm old. So to me, they're brand new. And and it featured an actress in there named Anne Blythe. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She was in this movie with Ronald Reagan.
It cut out there for a second. Did you say?
Anne Blythe.
Sorry, cut out.
Yeah, well, as well it should. So she was in this movie with Ronald Reagan. And because I saw Ronald Reagan's name, and I'm always kind of fascinated to watch a Ronald Reagan movie and think, God, does this guy have any idea where he's headed? He's going to become president. This is ridiculous. How could we have some entertainment guy become the president of the United States? Well, that's certainly not. But so this Anne Blythe is the female lead in it. And she, in my opinion, and she's, I'm sure, a lovely person. Turns out she's still alive. She's like 900 years old, but she's still...
Wow, 900?
Something like that, yeah.
Has she had work done?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, my God. She had.
She only looks 200.
Yeah. No, but I just thought she's a way over-the-top actress, just hammy as hell, and in my opinion, at least in this movie.
All right, Vita, from now on, things are going to be different.
I'll say they're going to be different. Why do you think I went to all this trouble?
Why do you think I want money so badly?
All right, why?
Are you sure you want to know?
Yes.
Then I'll tell you. With this money, I can get away from you.
Vito.
From you and your chickens and your pies and your kitchens and everything that smells of grease.
But as soon as I saw her, I said, how do I know that name, Anne Blythe? And it came to me when I was a kid. This is going back a ways, but there were these TV commercials for Hostess Twinkies and cupcakes and ho-hos.
Oh, God, wouldn't a Twinkie go good right now?
Yeah, well, I'm eating one right now. As we
wouldn't
speak.
A ding-dong go good right now?
Yes.
Man, oh, I'd God. Kill for a ho-ho. What was your favorite? Because ding-dongs were the flat sphere of the hockey puck ones, which were okay.
There were snowballs too, remember those?
No, the snowballs were they were too chewy. They were rubbery.
They had coconut sprinkled around the outside of
them. But they were rubbery too inside. But
I think that was the appeal was the rubberiness.
No, that's not the appeal. But no, I'll give me a ding dong. The nice thing about ho-hos was you could nibble all the chocolate off of it, and then you could unroll it because it was rolled up with some cream in there.
Yes.
It was so good. Yeah.
Of course, anyway. Never mind. It's killing us, but it was so
No,
good.
I don't care.
You know, you can eat healthy your life and get hit by a car and you're only 36, or you can eat crap like this and perhaps live to be as old as Anne Blythe, 900 years old. So
back to
what
Hostess
I remembered is that
cupcakes.
Anne Blythe, for some reason, is the spokesperson in a series of TV ads for Hostess Twinkies and Cupcakes and Ho-Hos.
Now I don't know if you're in.
And well, here she is, and listen to the way she says Ho-Hos.
Hello, you know, for several years I've been telling you about Hostess snack cakes and how much my children love them.
I'm Anne Blythe, and like you, sometimes I say no to snack cakes. When I do say yes, it's Hostess, because freshness never tasted so good. Hostess fruit pies, Twinkies, and ho-hos. Freshness never tasted so good.
So my brothers and I,
mine's
we
good.
Just got obsessed with those commercials, and we'd walk around the house all day going, ho-hos,
if we have ho-hos, to re-log in here.
Ho-hos, in imitation of Anne Blythe. Hello, are you still there?
Let me see if I can.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is very embarrassing. But I think I'm going to have to see if we can reconnect with Lisa Foster.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there you are.
Okay.
What happened? Did you turn your microphone off?
So let's just, I don't know. It just, the internet connection went. So let's pick it up from Anne Blythe.
No, we don't have to pick it up. We don't have to pick it up because I just kept it going. I kept asking for you, calling for you. I was worried about you.
Okay,
and now you're back. So the prodigal Foster is back.
But I missed the whole freaking story about the Hostess Ding Dongs and Anne Blythe. What happened?
It was fabulous. I can't tell it again. You'll have to listen to the podcast. But man, what a story.
I don't want to do that.
What a story. What a story.
Don't make me listen to the podcast.
Hey, we got to wrap here pretty soon, but I wanted to stick one story in. A friend of mine, a female friend of mine, has a son who's a good golfer. But his wife is an even better golfer. In fact, she's a pro golfer. And she was in a tournament over the weekend, a tournament that she won, an international tournament senior female golfers. And so I was watching it this weekend, and I was just watching how she would take a putt, and then if she missed it, she'd politely pick it up, and then, you know, all this. And I'm thinking, as I watch these pro golf tournaments, I'm thinking, you know, even if I was good at golf, I could never be a professional golfer, at least not one that is featured on live TV.
Why?
Because I don't have a good attitude sometimes when I'm golfing, and
I've been golfing with you.
Yeah, I would lose it. Okay, so imagine me, Lisa, as a pro golfer.
Ho-ho.
All right? Mm-hmm. Here's the live coverage. Okay, let's go to 14 now, and here is Cashman. He just needs to make an easy 2-foot putt, and here he goes.
God damn it! How did I miss that? God!
okay, let's go to 16. That's why I couldn't be. I'd lose it. I'd forget that I was on TV.
Yeah, you and I are similar because that's what I did when I tipped my cup of coffee over today. So
exactly.
We really shouldn't be allowed out in public because we do not hold things together very well when things go sideways.
However, I do have a joke for you, and I hope you'll like it because it's time to head home.
Yeah, let's bring this puppy into the barn.
You know, we don't have very many jokes that feature the French Revolution. I thought, damn it, it's about time. So here we go. During the French Revolution, many hundreds of people were executed by guillotine. One day, three men were led up to die. One was a lawyer, one was a doctor, the third guy was an engineer. The lawyer was to die first. He was led to the guillotine. The attending priest blessed him, and he knelt with his head on the guillotine. The blade was released, but the blade suddenly stopped halfway down its path. The priest, who was standing nearby, said, "Gentlemen, God has spoken. This man is to be spared. We cannot kill him." The executioner agreed, and the lawyer was set free. Wow. Did you hear that door slam?
Yeah.
Okay. The lawyer was set free.
Hold on. So what happened? Is Patty slamming the door?
Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. The window of the room that I am in right now was wide open.
Yeah.
And so when I did that little golf recreation thing,
apparently
the whole neighborhood heard the screaming and the cursing. And so she stomped in here, closed the window,
slammed
the door. Oh, God. I'm going to hear it now.
I love her. You know, I don't think you're ever too old to just stomp around. I love stomping. Half of what I was doing when I spilled my cup of coffee, I was stomping around the house.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of value in stomping. All right. So anyway,
I think she's agreed.
The lawyer got spared.
If you're just joining us before I face my own guillotine. So this first guy, the lawyer, he gets the guillotine, but then the blade doesn't go all the way down. It stops halfway. And the priest, seeing an opportunity here, quickly said, "Gentlemen, God has spoken. This man is to be spared. We cannot kill him." So the executioner agreed and the lawyer was set free.
Well, okay, now I understand.
The doctor was the next to get the guillotine. He was also...
What kind of doctor?
I don't know. Let's say he's a gynecologist, okay? So he's next. Or let's not say that. He was a doctor of humanities. How about that?
I like the gynecologist better.
He was blessed by the priest. Then he knelt and the doctor placed his head down. The blade was released and then again stopped halfway down.
Oh my God.
Again, the priest intervened. "Gentlemen, God has again spoken. We cannot kill this man." The executioner agreed, and the doctor was set free. At last, it was the engineer's turn. He was blessed by the priest, and the engineer knelt. But before he placed his head on the guillotine, he looked up and said, "Oh, wait a minute. I see the problem."
Oh, man. Okay, that was good.
I was there to match my intellect on national TV against a plumber and an architect, both with a PhD. I was tense, I was nervous, I guess it just wasn't my night. Our Fleming gave the answers, but I couldn't get the questions.
Ho, ho. Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.